Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for battling the rain and the nasty to be here this morning. Thank you to everybody who's joining us on Facebook. Please remember to comment. Let us know if you are joining us for worship today, and we appreciate you for being on Facebook with us as well. Choir members or anybody who wants to be in choir, don't forget about choir practice tonight at 5 p.m. And then we mentioned to you last week, we are having an ice cream fellowship tonight at 6 o'clock down in the Family Life Center. So because of that, we will not be on Facebook Live tonight. Bring your favorite toppings. We do have, the church will be providing the ice cream. We're going to have the, chocolate syrup and the caramel syrup. So those are covered. But any other toppings you want, you're on your own. So if you want the Reese's stuff you pour on there and then it hardens and makes a shell, you have to bring that. Or nuts or whatever. You can fill in the blank. But this will be a good time of fellowship. And Pastor's going to talk to us about some changes and some different things that we're going to be looking at moving forward. And we're just going to have a good time of fellowship and chatting about some different things. But like I said, I'm not going to be on Facebook tonight because of that. MOPS is occurring this Tuesday morning. Morning session from 9:30 to 11. Then the evening session from 6 to 7:30. So please, as you come in contact with young mothers with families, please let them know about this and make sure you invite them to come be a part of this. If you want to help with childcare or to be one of the mentors as part of this program, whether that's something you've been able to do before or you haven't, please let Sue Allen or Susan Bonney know, and they'll be glad to get you hooked up and tell you when they need you. Wednesday evening, we'll be having our normal activities at 6 p.m. We will be on Facebook Live. And so it'll just be a normal Wednesday evening, so don't forget about that. Grief Share is meeting Friday from 10 to noon, and so if you have any questions, talk to Miss Jane, and she'll be glad to let you know what's going on there. Church Board will be meeting on September 12th at 6:30 in the conference room, so board members, don't forget about that. Don't forget to pick up your packet from Wayne next Sunday. I'm sure he will have those for you, so that board meeting will be a week from tomorrow night. Hard to believe that we're already talking about it being the middle of September. The ladies' ministry is having their kickoff for the fall on September 17th, and that will be at 10 a.m. in the Family Life Center. Additionally, I mentioned to you last week that Linda has been getting a group of the ladies together to go to Chattanooga for a district conference, and I told you last week you had to hurry and sign up because the deadline was Friday. The district has extended the deadline, so we've got a little bit more time, and Linda said some people are carpooling, so they've got a few more spots in the van if any of you ladies would like to go to that. But that event is on October 1st, so a couple Saturdays from now, or well, more than a couple. But it'll feel like a couple because it'll be here in a hurry. So anyway, but talk to Linda if you have any questions about that. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I know many of you ladies have already signed up, but we do have some more time on that. So don't forget about that if that's something you'd like to be a part of. Thank you for everybody, again, who has brought candy for Fall Festival. But we still need more, so pat yourself on the back and then use that same hand to get some more candy the next time you're at the store. But we do appreciate everything you all have done to try to save Pastor Tyler from having to hit the dollar stores up. So every little bit helps, but we hope to have to send him back out on his run, on his route, because we have so many kids. But thank you guys again for that. Don't forget about the NYC envelopes. If you have not had a chance to grab one of those and stuff some money in it for the teens to be able to go to Tampa, please make sure that you do that. Of course, we have many other things that are going out in the newsletter on Fridays. So if you haven't seen that, let us know. We'll try to make sure we're sending it to the right email address. Make sure you check your spam folder. For whatever reason, sometimes it likes to end up there. But let us know if you are having trouble with that. All right. I think that is what I have got for today. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for your support of the church in attendance and with tithes and offerings. And I think the pastor has something for us.
I said it a couple of Sundays ago. We are so excited about what God is doing. And we are excited about those people who are coming our way and who are they're coming to Crossville and coming to Crossville First. And we are this morning welcoming Kathy Deals this morning. And she is coming to us from Concord. I said it right. I first said to her Concord. That's me. But Concord, California. And Kathy just lives up the street from me. She sees me out walking, which could be good, bad, or ugly. I don't know which. But anyway, Kathy, we are so happy to have you transferring your membership to our church from Concord, Church of the Nazarene there. And we're so glad that you're here and a part of our congregation. Let's give her a hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad this morning that we are a people who are ransomed and redeemed, and that we can know that we have a God that we can praise and worship. Stand with us this morning as you're able. We're going to pray together, and then we'll sing. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this time to come into your house and worship you. God, this morning I pray that as people who are rescued and ransomed and redeemed, that we would do the very least that we can do, which is give ourselves back to you in worship. Father, this morning we thank you for everything you're going to do. In the moments to come, I pray that you would meet with us in this place and that we would be able to leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with you. God, we love you and we praise you. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture in Proverbs that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I heard one pastor say that, but then he added on to it and said, where there are no people, the vision perishes as well. See, here's the thing that we need to understand. We are the carriers of the vision. If there's going to be a vision and we expect that vision to go forward, then it's through us. It's through the power of Jesus working in us. But we have to allow ourselves to be the conduits for that vision, right? Does that make sense? So that's all I've got to say about that. Let's sing this next song together. Honestly, if we're being real, the outro to that song is about 15 minutes long, and I thought, hey, instead of standing here staring at each other awkwardly, why don't I say something? So, anyway, that's that. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Praise the name of the Lord.
This morning, Lord, we give you our praise. We don't want just to sit here today and be quiet and allow the rocks and the mountains and the hills to cry out. We want to give you our praise, for you alone are worthy to be praised. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together, to worship you, to praise you, to adore you for who you are and for what you've done in our lives. You have been so good to us, Lord. We can't even begin to imagine what our lives would have been without you. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on a cross so that we could know you in full and free pardon of sin. We are grateful, Lord, this morning that we can give you praise, that we can give you honor, that we can give you glory for what you have done. Thank you, God, for the ways that you've worked even this week. Thank you for the lives that you've touched. Thank you for the good reports that we've had of people who are sick and how God, you are working in hearts and lives. And so we give you glory for those things this morning. But Lord, this is a new time. It's a new service. New people are gathered here today. And maybe some of us that are here this morning are facing issues and problems that we didn't have this time last week. Maybe nobody else knows about it but us and you. But we're thankful, Lord, that you are at work, that we can bring you our burdens. We can do as your word tells us. We can cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. And so, Lord, we trust you with the needs. We trust you with the burdens. We trust you with those this morning who are in the hospital. And we ask you, God, that you would bless and that you would touch and that you would help. We're thankful, Lord, now for this time that we have, that we can listen to your word proclaimed. And we ask you that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would speak to us. Help us, oh God, this morning, not just to listen and say, oh, that was a good sermon. Help us, oh God, this morning that we might listen and realize that we are hearing from God Almighty through his word. And may we leave here different people than we were when we came in. We rejoice and give you glory for all the things that you've done. But Lord, we rejoice and give you glory for what you're about to do as we look into your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for their faithfulness in giving. May you bless the offering as it is being received this morning. And we love you and we thank you for what you're going to accomplish as we worship you through the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the scripture I want us to look at this morning comes out of Mark chapter 10. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Is where we're going to start our reading and read down through verse 52. So we're just going to jump right into that. And this is what it says. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through verse 52. Or 35 through 52. It says this, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercised authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you, they said. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This morning I want to talk to us a little bit about spiritual blindness. And the question that I want to ask you is this: do you see with spiritual eyes? This morning in the scripture we see that there are kind of four different groups of people. And each of those four groups views this particular situation in a little bit different way. So this morning together we're going to kind of look through those groups and see exactly what that looks like. The first thing that we read here in this story that we just read is this encounter that Jesus has with two of his disciples. Now, it's a less than friendly encounter. The other ten don't take very kindly to James and John's encounter with Jesus, their interaction. Their question that they ask Jesus is, can one of us sit at your left hand and can the other one sit at your right hand? The short answer Jesus gives them is, uh-uh. No, you can't, because it's not for me to give. And they don't really take kindly to that, but it is what it is. But Jesus asks them a question, which we're going to come back to a little later because I think it's important. And the question is this: what do you want me to do for you? And this is what they say. They say, well, one of us wants to sit at your left hand, the other wants to sit at your right hand. But the problem is that they really had no idea what it was that they were really asking for. They didn't really have an understanding of who Jesus was, which is interesting because these were some of Jesus' closest followers. These were people who slept with Jesus day in, day out. They followed him. They had gone everywhere that Jesus had been. They were well aware of how Jesus operated, but yet it seems as though they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand what it was that Jesus had come to do because they were out of touch with his message and his mission. They didn't get it. I don't know why. They just couldn't figure it out. So Jesus asks them another question, and he says, can you drink from my cup? And they say, oh, yeah, we can do that. Uh-huh, that'd be great. Now, what they didn't know was he was on his way to Jerusalem and ultimately going to be killed. And Jesus tells them, he says, well, you're going to drink from my cup, but I can promise you this, it's probably not going to be a favorable experience for you. He tells them, look, you can drink from my cup, you can be baptized with my baptism, but you're still not going to be able to sit at my left and right hands because it's not mine to give. So these disciples don't have a real clear picture of who Jesus is. They don't understand what Jesus comes to do. They see him day in and day out, but they still don't get it. The next group is this. They're traveling along. They've had this encounter. Everybody gets a little torquey about it and gets a little excited over the fact that James and John think they're better than everybody else. And then as they're coming into Jericho, we find that Jesus is being followed by this crowd. Now, here's what's interesting about this crowd. This is a crowd of followers of Jesus, right? These people are following Jesus. They're doing whatever it is that followers of Jesus do. They're frolicking around the countryside, going wherever Jesus goes, waiting for him to stop and say some profound thing, hoping that he's going to overthrow the Roman government, whatever it may be. Whatever their reason was, they were following Jesus. And they come up on this guy who's hanging out as they're leaving the city of Jericho. They find this blind guy by the name of Bartimaeus. And it's really interesting to me how this crowd responds to poor old Bartimaeus. Because Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is coming. He catches wind of the fact that Jesus is passing by. And he starts crying out and says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd says, sit down, shut up, you're not worth Jesus' time. That's basically what they're telling him. Look, you need to be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time to deal with the likes of you. You are nothing more than a poor, worthless beggar. You need to sit there and hush because Jesus has bigger things to attend to than your problems. And so they shut Bartimaeus up, try to, but he doesn't want to have any part of it. So he cries out a little louder. See, here's what happens, and this is probably going to hit a little close to home because I think we're all guilty of it. I think a lot of times we're like the crowd in that we put labels on people and say, well, Jesus can help this person over here, but he can't help this person over here. He can't do anything about their problems, but he can probably fix mine. If we wanted to be truthful about it, honestly, the guy that's sitting on the side of the road homeless and destitute probably may have less problems than we did anyway. But the crowd doesn't understand. See, they didn't think that Jesus should be troubled with this guy because they didn't understand what Jesus had come to do. They didn't understand Jesus' mission. They didn't understand Jesus' message. And because of that, they just fall right in line with these disciples. His disciples, together with the large crowd, were trying to shut this guy up. But here's what's interesting to me. There's a third person I want us to look at, and it's Jesus, the Master. This crowd is driving Jesus, more or less, through the city of Jericho. And I don't know if you've ever been in the middle of a crowd, but it's sometimes hard to hear. I'm hard of hearing anyway. I can't hear myself think half the time. You can ask Brianna. When she says stuff to me, almost always my response is, huh? Because I cannot hear. And I don't know what it is, but I can't hear. And especially if I'm in a crowd, there's just a 0% chance. It's not looking good for the home team. You're going to have to be up close and personal for me to be able to hear what you're saying. And Jesus is walking with this crowd through the city of Jericho, and he stops in the midst of this hustle and bustle, all the noise, because he hears somebody calling his name. He hears this blind man saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops, and when Jesus stops, I can assure you, something amazing is just about to happen. You can just hold on because it's about to get real. Something interesting is about to take place. Jesus stops, and this is what Jesus says. Call him. Now, it's interesting to me because then the crowd suddenly changes tune. They've just been telling this blind man, "Sit down, shut up. Jesus doesn't have time for you." Jesus stops dead in his tracks and says, "Call him." And then this is how they respond. "Cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you." So he's saying, they're saying, "Look, buddy, I know 5 minutes ago we were telling you were a lost cause and you were worthless, but Jesus wants to talk to you, so get up and act like somebody. Come over here and talk to him for a minute." So they have this interaction. Jesus stops in the hustle and the bustle with this crowd, and he steps out of the world that he was in for just a moment and steps into the world of this poor, worthless beggar who did not deserve to experience an encounter with the Master. And he asks this blind man, Bartimaeus, a question. It's the same question that he asks his disciples. "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, there's a fourth person in this story, which is arguably one of the most important pieces of this story, and it's Bartimaeus, the blind man. So he hears that Jesus is calling for him, and he jumps to his feet, and he runs to Jesus, and he responds to this same question that was asked to the disciples in a massively profound way. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "I just want to see." That's it. I just want to see. That's all I want. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Oliver Sacks. He was a British neurologist, naturalist, and he was a historian of science and a writer. He was born in Britain, and Sacks received his medical degree in 1958 from the Queen's College there in Oxford, England. And before he moved to the United States, he wrote a book, and the title of the book was An Anthropologist on Mars. But in this book, Dr. Sacks tells about a man named Virgil who had been blind from early childhood. When he was about 50, Virgil underwent surgery and was given the gift of sight. But as he and Dr. Sacks found out, having the physical capacity for sight is not necessarily the same as seeing. Virgil's first experiences with sight were confusing. He was able to make out colors and movements, but arranging them into a coherent picture was a little bit more difficult. Over time, he learned to identify various objects, but his habits and his behaviors were still those of a blind man. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Dr. Sacks asserts, this is what he says in his book, "One must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person." He said, "It is the interim, the limbo, that is so terrible." Here's what we need to understand about Jesus. To truly see Jesus and his truth means more than just observing what he did or what he said. It means a change in identity. Here's what else I notice about this blind guy. And this is so important. It says right here, when he asks, or Jesus says, call him. They call the blind man. It says this, throwing his coat aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Let me explain the significance of that to you. That coat was everything he had. That coat was given to him by the government as a means by which to identify himself as a beggar. That coat was his license to depend on everyone else for survival. That coat was his livelihood. Wrapped up in that coat was everything that Bartimaeus had. And he threw his coat aside because he heard the master calling him. And he leaves his coat behind. That's what's interesting. It never comes back. It just says, immediately he threw his coat aside. He jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, teacher, I just want to see. And then Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. And this is what's interesting. Immediately it says he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He didn't go back for his coat. He didn't turn back to his old way because he had a change in identity. He was no longer Bartimaeus the beggar. He was Bartimaeus, the child of the living God. And because of a change in identity, Bartimaeus was able to follow Jesus in a meaningful way. See, here's what's interesting to me about this entire story. We have this blind man who could not physically see. And we have these two disciples who had been following Jesus for a long, long time, every day, day in and day out. But the one who had the clearest view of what needed was the man who didn't even have the physical ability to see. He starts out and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus had come to do. He understood everything that was wrapped up in that statement. But the disciples didn't get it. They were following Jesus to the cross and didn't even realize it. He told them several times, they're going to destroy this temple on the third day. They're going to rebuild it. It's all going to be great. I'm going to die. I mean, he looks them square in the face and just says, I'm going to die and raise again on the third day. And they're like, that's funny. You're a funny, funny guy. We're just going to keep following you. They don't get it. I don't know if they're just ignorant, if they can't comprehend it, what's going on. But they just don't understand. But this blind man who is sitting on the side of the road, whose society has said, you're useless, you're worthless, we're not even going to fool with you, gets it. And when he does, he leaves behind absolutely everything he has in this coat and chooses to follow Jesus. Here's what's so great about that, though. What Jesus did that day on his way out of Jericho for this poor, worthless, blind man named Bartimaeus, he can do for you today. Jesus is asking you a question. What do you want me to do for you? How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like James and John, who followed Jesus day in and day out, didn't really know who he was? Or are you just going to look Jesus square in the eyes and say, I just want to see. That's all I want. I just want to see. We're going to close with a song this morning, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And this is the challenge that I want to share with you. I don't care if you are a seasoned saint who's been following Jesus for a long, long time. I don't care if you're somebody who's never followed Jesus. This morning, I want you to know that Jesus has stopped in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of life. And he's willing to step out of his world for just a moment into the world of a poor, outcast beggar. And he's willing to wrap his arms around you and say, your faith has healed you. Go. So as we sing this song together this morning, I want you to know that the altar is open. I don't care whether you're old. I don't care whether you're young. I don't care if you identify somewhere in between. It doesn't make any difference to me, and it certainly doesn't make any difference to Jesus, because he's willing and able to meet you just exactly where you are and take care of the problems that you face. All you have to do is say, I want to see. So let's stand and sing together.
I'd rather have Jesus
than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced head than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Father God, I thank You for this opportunity to share Your word. God, I thank You that there was a time in my life when You stopped in the middle of the crowd, in the middle of the noise, and You stepped out of Your world into mine and said, come to Me. God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that You can do the exact same thing for every person here today. And so, Father, I pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know You, that they would come to a saving knowledge of You today. God, if there's one here that does know You but has been following for a long while and maybe has their priorities out of order, their vision is a little blurred, God, I pray that You would set us back on the right path and that You would help us to follow You regardless of where it leads, regardless of what it costs. God, I pray that You would help us to be like old Bartimaeus and that we would just throw our coat aside, leave our old selves behind, and follow You along the way. God, as we leave this place today, I pray that You would keep us safe. Lead us, guide us, direct us in the days to come, and we will give you praise, we'll give you honor, we'll give you glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.